Father, we thank you again for this precious book. We open it, Lord. It has the answers for all things for us. We know in the last days, and I see it more so now than ever, because it's not the routine thing that people say in the past, war, rumors of war, and this and that, the other. We always had those, and the world knows it, and they laugh at us. But there's an element here that God has shown his people in the last days who want to see that's happening, that where the world's much involved in it, and even there is a professed church that's involved with it, dear Father, and it's the sign for those who really believe the Bible and trust in you can see what the handwriting's on the wall for God's timetable in the last days. And I pray you'd help it make it real to us. We probably won't go through like this again for a good while once we finish this series of studies, but we pray it'll be something meaningful to us that we're in turn we can read the handwriting on the wall about our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we talked last week about the mystery of iniquity, and I read to you in 2 Thessalonians, of course, and in verse 7, it said, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who led it now led it will let it until he be taken out of the way." But now I want to look again in verse 10, 11, and 12, because these are going to be filled in by what's going to be said at the night and probably next week or week after next. He says again, "And with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish," this is where this is at, they're perishing, don't even know it, "because they receive not the love of the truth. The reason they're in the shape that they are to be deceived in unrighteousness is they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." The potential is there. They could be saved, but they're not because they receive not the love of the truth. And he said, "For this cause," the reason God is, because of this, God's going to do something. "He shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned." Why? "Who believe not the truth, but has pleasure in unrighteousness." Their lifestyle of pleasure, of unrighteousness, they enjoy so much, they refuse to come to the light. And we'll see that in John chapter 3. Now, when we think about, go to Revelation chapter 7, go there and just read the first verse of Revelation chapter 17, because all this ties together. He said, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me," John said, "saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." In verse 5, he talks about, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth." Now, Mystery Babylon the Great and the mystery of iniquities are the same territory. They're working in the same direction, at just different ways of presenting them as far as what they're actually doing. And so, what a mystery that's going to take place at the falling away from the church, 2 Thessalonians, and it's happening now right underneath our eyes, and only those who really want to know the truth are going to be able to see it, because others are agreeing in our day with the majority of those professed to be saved that what God calls sin is really not a sin. We talk about unconditional grace. Now, we have unconditional love. God loves us unconditionally. He so loved the world. Paul said, "Why were we yet sinner? Christ loved us." So God loves us with an unconditional love. But an unconditional love that God loves us, he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The fact that Jesus came and died shows that God loved this world, that includes humanity, which is where his love extends to, that he loves us with an unconditional love. But that unconditional love will not help an individual, benefit an individual, unless they respond to it by faith. Now, we talked about a couple of weeks ago about unconditional grace. Unconditional grace has been taught nowadays. Just like they say, "Well, we have God's unconditional. He loves us no matter how bad we live." And that's true. God does. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and we were worse time when we were sinners. And Romans 5 tells us that. But unconditional grace, ladies and gentlemen, would mean if you teach it up front that you have unconditional grace and therefore you're saved because of the unconditional grace, and thereafter nothing you do can matter. So what happens, these people are professing Christ and with an unconditional grace attitude, which in turn nothing happens, and so they live their life like they want to because they think because of the grace of God they have the right to live like they want to because they themselves are kind of their own individual, God's grace teaches us that For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. See? It's the grace is there. The potential, all can be saved. But only those who will believe the record of God's Son and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior will get saved. So grace is extending. Grace is unmerited favor. But it's not unconditional. It doesn't mean a person be saved and live like they want to and they claim to be saved. You have to be born again. If you're born again, then grace works in our heart. And the same grace that saves us is the same grace that teaches us. And the Bible tells us that. When we talk about this professed church, what a mystery that the professing church is going to shut the mouths of those who know the truth. They're in the system, and we're going to see some of that happening right now. I'm amazed at what's happening in the news about churches nowadays that most people don't even know anything about. But what's happened in the midst of that of the church is a professed church, which in turn say they are right with God, and they're trying to silence the voice of God, of God's people who believe the Bible. And they're doing it not only in the government as far as civil authority is concerned, but they're also working among the government of the larger groups and denominations as far as the religious authority. And we're seeing that happen more now as the falling away comes than has. Because government's always been against God and in Christ and that which has to do with the Bible. When it comes down to make a decision over what the Bible says or what people make laws to say, government always backs what laws are said. We see that in our own government now. Even our government that started years ago had got in the center of it, had a hard time getting things together like it was, and even now it's taken, 200-something years that we've come to the place that we've inserted into government now, that which is destroying that which was laid by our forefathers. And so here, God's faithful servants, they're trying to silence them, shut their mouth through the idea of imposing upon them to initiate uncleanness in religious services. That is, yes, we believe in God, but God didn't mean this. If God said something was sin, but it didn't mean that age of grace, because grace takes care of all of that. God knows that we are not perfect. Therefore, there's no need to try to live a life that's pleasing to God to some degree. Or I would decide what, but Bible, you have a lot of people who say they believe the Bible and say, well, but I know this. The Bible may say something to you, but don't say the same thing to me. And you're hearing that among these professed people who say they're saved. Oh, yeah, I study the same Bible you do, but my Bible don't. What God talks to me about the Bible is not what he talks to you about the Bible. Well, listen, God's not going to be two-faced about what he's saying. And I believe it all my heart. If God is angry enough or explaining enough that something is sinful to call it an abomination, it's got to be something that cannot change. It just cannot change. If it's abomination, you heard me say hundreds of times probably, if it's abomination in the Old Testament, it's abomination in the New Testament. If it's abomination in Jesus' day, it's abomination now. And therefore, he don't change on account of those things, you see. And so the meaning of the word mystery is to shut the mouth, a secret or a mystery through the idea of silence opposed by initiating to religious rites. Or it means that something that was hid but now has been revealed. The mystery has been revealed. The only thing is, we understand that side of a mystery. But biblical mystery means that it comes that there is a shut into the mouth of those of truth and inserted into the religious activity that which God says is not truth. And people have been deceived by it. And that's the mystery of iniquity. That's the whore church that he's talking about in Revelation 17 about the mystery of Babylon. And as a result of this spiritual adultery, in the form of fornication and adultery in Solomon, these things are initiated in religious rites, and they close the mouth of God's faithful witness who protest. And there, in that protest, is what you see is the mystery of iniquity. Now, in 2 Corinthians, we see Paul talking this way. He says in verse 14 of chapter 6, he said, "Be not unequally yoked together with them with unbelievers." He tells us why. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Bela? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" And we are the temple of God. "For ye are the temple of the living God," he says. "As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That is the true church, ladies and gentlemen. That's the born again, washed in the blood of Christ, the church. And he said, to those people, Now come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord. Now that really got me in studying this weeks ago. God's always asked us to come out as far as be separated from the world. But notice, he's talking about this religious activity group that has a hole in the things of God, so they speak the language. He says, come out from among that group, that professed group. Come out from among them, he said, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And he said, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I thank God for, again, his unconditional love. But his grace is not unconditional. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Without faith in Jesus Christ, a person will die and go to hell, even though God's grace shows unmerited favor to them. They can't work it out. Yet on the other hand, God's grace won't save them if they don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And yet God has given unconditional love to this world. Look at his son at Calvary. Every individual on the planet Earth can be saved since Jesus' day because of what Jesus did at Calvary. He didn't put up there a sign just for a few. He died for everyone. So his love is shown unconditional to this wicked, ungodly world. And that helps me understand God so loved the world. I've studied that through the years. It always amazes me how he only used the word so. And yet, when you get to thinking about it, that's all he could use because he doesn't have we don't have a vocabulary to understand how great that love is. And so he said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That so is an unconditional love. As far as his love to humanity, but on the other hand, if they spurn that love and they trample the blood of the Christ under their feet and refuse to accept the record that God gave of his son, 1 John 5, then they will not be saved. And again, you find in John 1:12, to as many as receive him, to them, those who receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That settles it for me right there. So I tell you, thank God for God's grace and thank God for his unconditional love. But at the same time, I have to understand, I can't start using terms and add things to it and feel protected because it just sounds good or I have a lot of people says it's okay. God's the one who tells us what we need to do. Then they come back and say, well, what makes you such an authority? Well, from my heart, it's got to be authority. And I have to teach what I know. On the other hand, another person is going to have to accept what I do. I'm not trying to show authority to anyone else. I'm trying to give information and let God become the authority to the heart to reveal that truth. It's authority in my heart, and therefore when I give it out to others in information, they have to receive it, and it should be authority to their heart. If not, they're responsible for it. I am not responsible for it. I just have to understand that where we are at, and God wants us to listen to this, the truth, and let the Holy Spirit bear witness of that truth to our heart. And in turn, we'll see ourselves in ways that the world don't see us. And at the same time, we'll understand why the world sees us like they see us. Because it comes back to what Jesus said, that how we'll be treated in this world. Now, let me give an example of what I'm talking about. This is back in 1992, 22 years ago when this happened. And by the way, it's a lot worse today than it was then. This is an article in the March 7th, 1992, Great Falls Tribune, a newspaper printed in Great Falls, Montana, out in the Midwest. And here it appears that in this article, it appeared that from that article that one of God's faithful servants was not only ridiculed, but put to silence by his church government, not just the federal government or the state government, by his church government for saying, and here's what he said, and I quote him, God regards homosexuality as a gross perversion and an unquestionable sin. That's what he said. He stood up in a meeting and made that statement. Now here, this man was apparently trying to bring forth the word of God to establish his point, but his church government silenced him. You hear what it said? His church government silenced him. Now this is a major denomination in our country. The article continued on saying the members were considering allowing a same-gender union sought by homosexual couples to be sanctioned by holy matrimony. This is an example of instilling the mystery of iniquity into the religious rites. They also had discussions about whether to license a homosexual member for the ministry. And when they got to that point, this man stood up and then he said, and I'll quote again, He said, God regards homosexuality as a gross perversion and an unquestionable sin. Just a dear saint of God in the pew who believed God's word stood up and made his statement. But then, one of the head leaders of this organ, by the way, according to this, it was Baptist. One of the head leaders at this particular time says, one of the most prominent church leaders who had been at the head of this large Protestant denomination for 30 years said this, and I quote, "This issue, regardless of sharp feelings about it, is a minor issue in comparison with altering the basic character of the denomination. Freedom is supposed to be a basic concept of all Baptist churches. I cannot imagine a Baptist church that is not free. The moment you start setting theological criteria for membership, you start down the slippery slope," unquote. Well, if you don't have a theological doctrine, what good is membership? You just joining a club, joining an organization. By the way, this is worse now than 22 years ago, because it's happened all across this nation. And that's where we're from, you see. Ladies and gentlemen, we must have some standards about membership when it comes to what we believe. If not, what good is it? God tells us how to be saved, and God tells us how we can become a child of God. And when we comply to that, he gives us assurance that we are in 1 John chapter 5. He goes through detail. And if a person has not met that criteria theologically, they can't be a child of God. So you expect that. So in a professed situation, multitudes of people, there's a mass movement of falling away because they profess without possess, and they're leaving the principles of God's word because it just sounds better to be free and be able to know that these people are to be loved. By the way, these people are to be loved. I say that every time. We are to reach them for Christ's sake. But God never intended us to change the doctrine to reach them, because if you change the doctrine, you have no reason to reach them. Have no reason at all. I'll probably hear from that, but that's all right. We're studying this, and I want to stay with it at this time. So, do you see the mystery of iniquity here now? And it's started in real slow things in places. Like, and you hear more and more, but every time these groups meet together and they have a big convention and so forth, it gets more and more and more. And then next thing you know, you see what's happened the last few years right here in our own state when it comes to these places. They say, well, we can't live with y'all. We'll have our own church. And they do that. And by the way, in America, they can do that. They have freedom to do that. And I admit that. They have the freedom. But don't try to change our basic biblical doctrine to meet theirs, because they're trying to exercise their freedom and keep us from having our freedom. Amen. So I sound like a politician. I don't mean to. Amen. The mystery of Babylon is the state of confusion which dominates not only the churches but the whole world, because the truth cannot enter. And therefore, men's hearts have been filled with unquestionable, unanswered questions. Man's mouth has been stopped. Human reason has been used to promote human reason. And in so doing this thing, the authority of God's word is set at naught. What God says doesn't mean anything as long as human reason sounds okay and takes us all in together, because we're still, say, rowing in the same boat, so to speak. Those who don't know what the Bible has to say, and here's the sad part about it, there's a lot of good Christian people who just don't know what the Bible has to say. And all they hear is what they hear in voices, and they associate with the voices more so than biblical doctrine. And that's the reason they look at it, just say, well, there's no reason for us to cause a big thing about this, you see. Those who don't know the Bible, what it's willing to says, are willing to accept human philosophy in exchange for the authority of God's word. This is the mystery of confusion that we've been talking about, which is the mystery of iniquity. Now, turn with me to Isaiah. I'm going to show you what's happening. Isaiah gave us this prophecy. I want you to turn with Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah gave this prophecy to Israel back nearly 2,700 years ago. And here he's talking and giving instruction to Israel. And I want you to notice, if you don't see this happening today, boy, I'll tell you, right here is what's happening in our streets as he talks about this. Notice, first of all, he says in verse 2, he said to Israel, "But your iniquities have separated you and your God, And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Iniquities, wicked, unjust, unrighteous acts. The sins are committed. It's offenses that are done, those things that are wrong. Because of that, he's hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now look in verse 9. He said, for those people he will not hear. You're not talking about the true church here, not here. And then sometimes the true church may cry out. It seems like they're not hearing, but God hears. It's just fact, if he doesn't answer right then what's needed, he's going to answer in the long run anyhow. But look in verse 8. The way of peace, they know not. And there is no judgment in their loins. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Look at verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. Now here's the situation, whereas the true child of God is going to know these things. And watch, in verse 13, he says, in transgression and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now here's what happened, watch. And judgment is turned away backwards. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. The system of rules of doctrines that's right cannot enter because truth is fallen in the street. Now, notice verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. Watch. This is important. Truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. Wow, you see what that said? For you and I who take a stand, the day will come. He's talking to Israel. For us to take a stand against that which is wrong, we become a prey of those, like Israel would be. And the same things happened to us. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. If you look with me I want to read John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus said, sanctify them, speaking about the saints of God, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right? Sanctify them. Set them apart, Lord. Those who are yours. The whole chapter 17 talks about that, how we're his. And he don't pray that he takes us out of the world, but he keeps us from evil. Then he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Then he said, notice, thy truth, thy word is truth. Now here he said, yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil making himself a prey. What has happened, it is God who's setting us apart from that which has fallen away. And he said, we're done that through truth, and truth is doctrinal, correct, theologically, where we can understand what God wants. So you see what happened is, there's a misinterpreting, a mixing up of doctrine with error, truth with error, where in turn the error, when you have truth with error, you don't have enough but error. The end result is not going to be anything. Truth has to stand alone. And so what happens here, God's people are studying the Word of God. We're trying to look at the days that God tells us so we'll be factual right for ourselves if we can't make nobody else see it. For ourselves to do what God would have us to do in the period of time we're here in this life. While he give us time, that's our time that God has allotted that we're to do the things to promote the kingdom of God if we're saved until we leave, and then someone else will come along, and there'll come a day Christ himself will come back because he's going to end up being not that many to do it anyhow, and then he'll have to come back. Fact, probably evil will force him to come back more and more because when the government tried to shut something down, God would manipulate governors at times, but when inside the church tried to shut the mouth and silence the mouth of that which is truth, he'll fall in the street then. Because the government can cause a hardship, but the church can do more to harm the church. The professed church can do more to harm the true church because of the way they look at what the Scriptures have to say. And so here we understand that those who don't know the Word of God are willing to accept because it just sounds right. But God said when truth is not permitted like it should be, then truth is destroyed. It is fallen in the street. And he said equity, that which is right, that which is a system of rules and doctrines that's right to help people in the most way possible, can't get through. It's stopped. And that's what happened. Silence the child of God that stands up to speak, and they're calling him a moron, religious fanatic, everything else in the world. All they're doing is trying to silence the voice that God's given through that person and go with their own agenda and say that God had sanctioned that rather than what he had sanctioned. So you understand why God's people in the past had to give their life for the cause of Christ. You understand why Bunyan and people like that, and even Apostle Paul ended up in jail. Because there came a time in Acts 17. You remember when Paul went down to Acts 17? You heard me say before, he went to Thessalonica, had a great time. A lot of people got saved. Went to Berea, a lot of people got saved. And the Bereans, they were so enthused. They got in the Word of God to see those things were true and read the Word of God. Be sure Paul was telling the truth, what they had. But he went to Athens at that time. He couldn't even hardly get an audience, except they called him a blabbermouth. And you know what he said? He just stood up and said, you're worshiping the wrong God. You even got an altar to the unknown God. How can you worship someone who's unknown? They had thousands of gods anyhow, and because when you have thousands of gods, you're bound to be sure you might miss one. And so they had an altar built for an unknown God. And he told them, you don't know what you're worshiping. He stood up, and he reprimanded those people because of what they were doing at that time. And God used that, but he didn't get to make too many friends doing that. And of course, when that's the things that made the world religious fanatics, especially the Sanhedrin court and others in religious world, and also the religious world that started from the churches that were started in different places, which they had problems that come in at the grassroots, began to assert authority to get rid of Paul, just like they got rid of, try to get rid of Jesus Christ. And so that's what they do. If they can't silence the mouth by putting them in prison somewhere or another, then the next thing they'll just get them off. If you just get them off the earth, that's one reason I think when the rapture takes place, some people are going to think, well, that's a great thing. Got all those religious fanatics. You know, religious fanatic is different than who we are, those children of God, but they call us that anyhow. And I can just hear someone saying, that place over there is just always on the downward side. It just everything it teaches is negative. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm teaching right now is the most positive thing that you could hear of. Because it's showing us God working in the days that we're living in now. And I just believe God has got some voices all across this country. Some churches larger than ours, many churches smaller than ours, that are standing their ground, trying their best to, based on biblical truths. And they're feeling the pains that we're feeling here in even our own nation at this time. So how is it possible then for a professing church to condone such iniquity and silence those who speak against it? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us exactly how that happens. It is the love of the truth that's missing, he says here in 2 Thessalonians. And for this cause, he says, because they didn't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe God does this to help us understand the difference. God said, listen, I want you to know if they come to that point and that's what they want, then that's what I'm going to give them. And I'm doing this so you who know the truth can tell the difference. And by the way, you can, folks, can't you? You can. I just heard on the news this week, a lady lamb blasting for something taking place. And they are more enemy towards us than we are them. We're just talking about what we think God is saying. And they think we're just, oh boy, we're out to cheat them from having their rights and benefits in this nation and everything else. And that's not it at all. Oh boy. Zip your mouth, Charles. Amen. So I see. Believing and loving the truth is missing, and God has sent strong delusions in them. Now, in Revelation 17:1, again, he says, and there came one of the seven angels, and he talked to me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Then verse 15 tells who that whore is. He said, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are the people and multitudes and nations and tongues. What God is setting forth, that in this there's many waters, and therefore is the symbol of the of this. He called it this Babylon whore, which is the church, is the profess church, not possess church. And she said and dominate a people, the nations, the multitudes, and the languages, including all the languages of the nations, they're under her rule. Her name is Mystery Babylon. Now, I want you to turn to John 3, and that's what we'll probably get tonight. Look at me in John 3, because Jesus told us exactly why this happens in John chapter 3. More so now, I see this more so now than when I looked at this years ago. Why is it that these people are this way? Why is it if they even want to know the truth, they wouldn't realize that God Himself wrote this book, God inspired this book, and when God says these words in this book, it's God's words. But then they come to this. Watch what Jesus tells us as you look with me in John chapter 3. We'll start about 17. Jesus said this, and you know this by heart, but I'll just read it through. It preaches better than I can. For God has sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that says to me, there's a group of people in the world that the fallen way is not there. They just don't believe to start with because they don't believe who Jesus Christ was. They're not born again child of God. But then there is a religious group who says, oh yes, we believe in Jesus Christ, but there's always something added to it or taken from it. Now it goes on. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and watch. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Can you imagine that God is saying in a wicked world, when He sent the light of the gospel into the world, those people love the darkness more so than the light. Can you not see why from His standpoint He would do what He said He'd do? They love darkness rather than light. They did that. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now, if you got a person who's... You know, when I came along years ago, and probably some of you others of my age, and maybe not quite as old, maybe older. When I came along years ago, when you went to hear preaching, you had men of God who stood up and preached this book, Hellfire and Brimstone, preached against sin, preached it, and it made what God did, He brought a conviction to one's heart that they saw they are lost. They needed to be saved. And when a person came forth, they come with a broken heart, not ordering someone to lead them to the Lord to be saved. Here, though, unconditioned grace, you don't preach hellfire and brimstone. There's people who preach it to thousands every Sunday tell you that. Oh, yes, come to Jesus Christ and be saved, but we don't preach hellfire and brimstone because people have enough hell on this earth. I heard a preacher say right now in California that the other day. They have enough heartache in this world. We don't beat them down. We just ask them to come to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's unconditional grace, and that don't work. You're saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. Thank God for God's grace. It's unmerited grace. And that unmerited grace we don't deserve. But when you and I, why wouldn't a person come to, make a profession if they're looking for a ticket to heaven? Why do they need a ticket to heaven? It don't matter how they live. It's a mystery of iniquity. It's Satan, the sly fox, taking a little bit of truth and sliding it into a situation to make people believe something that they're just as doomed and damned as they would be if they'd never heard Christ's name. But you're not going to hear that in the last days. Our grandchildren growing up are not going to hear that like we hear it. Somebody said, well, I wish I hadn't heard it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's still important. Watch what Jesus said. He said, this is condemnation, the light come to the world, and we love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are even watched now. For everyone, and I love this, and it's amazing, Jesus said this, 2,030 years or so ago, maybe 40 years ago. He said, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know what he said? He said, the reason they won't believe those truths, because the moment they do, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal their deeds. What they're doing is wrong. What they're doing is not going to be accepted by God. So they stay away from the light and form their own light using the scriptures as Satan divides it up in parts and makes something say it's not said. And he goes on and he says, but he that doeth truth come into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I love that. They will not come to the light for their own sins to be revealed. Therefore, they do not allow anyone else to identify sin. I love that. Because what happened, if you and I are saved, we say, wait a minute, folks, listen, the Bible says this. If they agree, it identifies their sin. And if they don't want their sin identified because where they're at, the only thing they can do is silence us. And that's what they're doing. The government is not doing as much of it now because they have to make laws to do it. And it takes a process, but they're making laws fast to do it. We're seeing it. By the way, 19 states already have passed the law of self-same marriage. Ever 50 of them will do it. Isn't it 50 now? So many of them I can't. They're talking about now won't make Mexico a state. It'd be 51 then with the other end. So what we're seeing is it's just amazing. If they can silence within the situation, which will please the outside, also the government will put approval of, and he puts everybody in a situation where in turn is not easy, because this makes us be criticized greatly. It's not a rule of the thumb as we think of. So the mystery of Babylon is that anyone who preaches against sin must have his mouth stopped. Now I understand why Paul went to prison. I understand why John Bunyan stayed like he did. I understand why those Fox's Book of Martyrs were killed. You know, I used to wonder, Lord, why would you let that happen? He's letting us sow everything. See, ladies and gentlemen, everything God allows or does and permits his will, he has something behind it. Let us see a truth. The fact that we see that happening and God let it happen, because this is not our home we're passing through, lets us understand what's happening now is fulfilling prophecy to get us to the place where God wants to get us all out of here and this thing end up. These things must happen, but those who have the truth must stand upon that truth and do it in a loving way. You can do it in a loving way, but you find out. And then when you come to the point of doing that, then next week we'll pick up in Romans chapter 1, because this confusion begins with a divided heart. The heart is divided, and therefore Romans 1 tells us what God did do because of that divided heart. And it just fits in like a glove at all. Father, thank you again for this book. Lord, we love you so much. And dear Lord, as Brother Tyson prayed a while ago, if we teach anything that's wrong, please help us see it. Lord, I'm not here to try to just teach my own ideology or just something I believe because it sounds so good. Lord, I want to know the truth. And if you're proven biblically that it's wrong, dear Father, I'd be the first to come and say, Lord, please, I believe I pray enough and ask you to guard my mind to help me, dear Father. This is deep water for me. And Father, a lot of time spent in it, and I just don't believe that the burden would be so strong if it weren't something God wanted to be taught. I'm amazed because I never dreamed 25 years ago this was the means of the last days like I see now. And it is a hidden mystery. Now God is revealing it. Not only that, there's other. Lord, I thank you for that pastor in First Baptist Church in out in Texas who's taken such a stand nationally on these truths. Lord, he's getting ridiculed every way possible. And I thank you for him. I pray for him, Lord, because I'm not on a national scene. I'm on just a small scene, but he's on a national scene. And the news media is just eating him up, except a few that like Fox. And so I pray that, Father, for him. And thank you that he has enough knowledge to be able to stand his ground for the glory of God. And dear Father, we thank you. We know that we're not alone. There's others on this earth and in our nation is doing that. But Father, each one of us, wherever we're at, going to feel the pressure. We're going to have to understand these last days. We're going to have to take the stand in a loving way, no matter what consequence comes our way, because God is going to take us home before long. Until that day comes, we must do what we need to do for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.